In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14, the first reading from the lectern. In our text, Paul brings out the importance of the life of sanctification, which follows conversion. When considering sanctification, we think about God through His Word and sacrament at work in a believer, motivating and empowering the believer who is a new creation, a new person in Christ Jesus. We believers, as new people by God's grace, in our new nature, do not resist God working in us, but rather cooperate with the Lord. We actually, by God's grace and power, live the sanctified life. We bear fruit for the Lord. We receive instructions in God's word as to how we are to live. But all credit and honor and praise for doing good works belongs to God alone, who made us new creations, new creatures in the first place, and who motivates and enables us as new persons to do these good works. In our text, Paul, a master of word pictures, uses the imagery of darkness and light to designate the two powers at work in our world. The devil is darkness, and all who are in his kingdom, under his power, who are associated with him, whether they know it or not, are darkness. Jesus Christ is light. His word is light. And those who have been brought to faith in Jesus, those who have been enlightened with his truth, filled with his light, those in whom he, the light, lives, are light. Paul told the first readers of this epistle, and he tells us today, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. Such living means watching our own conduct and reacting to the unfruitful deeds of darkness we see all around us. With regard to watching our own conduct, Paul says that we are to test out what is pleasing to the Lord. Testing out means this. We, as children of light, as those who have been enlightened by God through His Word, know what is wrong, and we know what is right and God-pleasing. Every aspect of our lives we are to test out, every thought, word, and deed. Is it in line with God's will? Is it from our spirit, our new nature, our new person, or is it from our flesh, which is an alliance with the devil? What we test out, examine, and understand to be wrong, this we are to discard, reject, throw out. What we test out and find to be good and God-pleasing, that we are to keep and do. Thus we have a simple rule by which we are to judge our own conduct, examine our own conduct. Whatever is God-pleasing, keep, and whatever is not, get rid of it. All our thoughts, words, and deeds are and ought to be to the glory of God, but we know how often the sinful flesh has its way in our lives. We are comforted with the gospel truth that God, who called us out of darkness, who made us children of light because of His grace, forgives us all of our sins for Jesus' sake, who died for us and rose from the dead. God does not hold these sins against us, but instead He gives us everlasting life. God also enables us to continue carrying on this testing process as children of light, so that our conduct will have fewer of the works of the flesh and more of the works of the Spirit. Paul characterizes this godly fruit with three words, with three different nuances. He writes, live or walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The light, Jesus Christ, through His word, a light, enables us children of light to bear the fruit of the light. Goodness means moral excellence and also the corresponding attitude which desires to be good. Righteousness is that which accords with the will of the righteous judge, God Almighty. Truth means that which accords with spiritual and moral reality as revealed in God's word, and which is the opposite of all the lies and deceptions and shams of this sinful world. This sinful world governed by the devil is full of such deceptions, and we know many of them. The Playboy philosophies, the gay lesbian propaganda, pro-abortion arguments, false religions and beliefs, evolution. Paul has longer virtue lists in other of his epistles, but goodness, righteousness, and truth summarizes those lists. May we, by God's grace, grow in our living as children of light, so that we might bear more fruit for the Lord, fruit which consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Living as children of light means watching our own conduct. It also means reacting to the unfruitful deeds of darkness all around us. This is a complement to and even overlaps the idea of watching our own conduct. The evil deeds which Paul mentions, which he refers to, are the works of unbelievers who are under the power of the darkness, namely Satan. Paul could have written simply unfruitful deeds or deeds of darkness, but he writes unfruitful deeds of darkness to emphasize their awful origin, the awful power behind them, and their total worthlessness, no matter how much the world may glorify them. One reaction we are to have is to have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds of darkness. We are to have nothing to do with these deeds. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "What fellowship can light have with darkness?" The two are opposites. One excludes the other. One is fruitful, the other is unfruitful. Paul does not tell us to have nothing to do with the workers of these deeds. If that were the case, that would mean our leaving the world. We come into contact regularly with the children of darkness. That is unavoidable. But we can avoid joining in with their wrong speech and with their wicked actions and deeds and behavior. Becoming entangled with these deeds can result in our sinning and cutting down our fruitfulness for the Lord. There is no compromising with the ways of the world. A double life, partly living the God-pleasing life and partly joining in freely with a sinful action or sinful actions of unbelievers, is always unacceptable to the Lord. At the same time, we are to reprove these wicked deeds and so expose them as unfruitful, as deeds of darkness. Our godly living, which results in our avoiding becoming entangled with these deeds, is partially a reproof of this wickedness. But Paul in our text says that we are to go beyond this. We are to label sin as sin. We are not to water down God's law due to pressure from the outside world. We are not to make it more palatable to 20th century humanity. We are not just to stay clear of these deeds of darkness. We are not to beat around the bush, but we are to make it plain that these works and words are blasphemous, ungodly, perverse, wicked, the work of the devil. How exactly we speak the law will, of course, vary from situation to situation. The general principle is to speak the truth in love, but keep on speaking the truth. And let us speak the truth not only in love, but also in humility and courage in the Lord. Our speaking the truth, our rebuking with the light of God's word the deeds of darkness and exposing them for what they are in reality, may arouse hostility and opposition. The Apostle John writes, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." But how can we, as children of light, do otherwise? Just as when a light, when brought into a darkened room, exposes what is in that room, so we, enlightened by the Lord, having the light of His Word, naturally expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. Our great example here is Christ, who not only avoided becoming entangled with the deeds of wickedness, but also rebuked such wickedness. As one commentator reminds us, when Jesus reproved the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, their practices earlier had not seemed so bad to the disciples. But when Christ threw on their practices the pure light of truth, their practices were seen for what they really were. That is one reason we have been made light in the Lord. We are, as another commentator puts it, using God's word to blaze out into the darkness and to expose what that darkness covers up. But God's word, a light, contains not only law, but also gospel. Using this word in this darkened age means applying the law, but also proclaiming the gospel. Our ultimate aim in reacting to the unfruitful deeds of darkness is the conversion of the sinner. This was Christ's goal when he was dealing with people, that he might win them to faith in himself, that he might win them, bring them over into his kingdom of light. This aim is brought out in the last verse of our text, evidently a portion of an early Christian hymn. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Referring to the sinner as one who is sleeping in spiritual death is law. But the commands, wake up, rise, are gospel imperatives, just like saying, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. These gospel imperatives are backed up by a clear gospel promise, the last line of our text. Christ will shine on you. The gospel is the light which wakens those who are sleeping in spiritual death. It is the light which makes them spiritually alive. It is the light of salvation which brings them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. May God help us always rightly to apply both law and gospel. Let us then, after considering our text, rejoice in our salvation, in our being children of light, which is due totally to God's grace. And let us live joyfully as children of light, watching our own conduct and reacting to unfruitful deeds of darkness as God would have us to react. In Jesus' name, amen.